Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And today it is Tammy Hall from Bozeman. My voice cracked. I sound like I'm a 13-year-old kid trying out for the choir. Hello, Tammy. Anyway, Tammy Hall, age 35. 75, and as of 2 days ago, and my brother Shane from Canada, and Aaron is in Miles City for Americans for Prosperity, so he will be doing lunch at the Black Iron Grill, so if you want to go down there and visit with Aaron, it'd be worth your time. I have a great guest right now. We have a bit of a change. I said it was Corey Swanson from running for Supreme Court. We'll talk about that too. But I'm so excited to have James Brown. James, you're running for the auditor position that's currently held by Troy Downing, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, that's a big office. It's important. You'll be on the land board.
That's correct. It's one of the primary reasons I ran for that office is, as most of your listeners know, I represented, as a private practice attorney, Montana Agriculture, and I've followed the land board and been before it for many years, and it's a very important office, as you know, because it raises money for public education in Montana. But what I want to bring to that office is the fact that the constitutional duty of the land board is to maximize revenue for public education, not to be a conservation body or certainly a land purchasing agent.
Now, okay, we have 3 minutes before we go to a break, so I want you to explain what you just said. When the Democrats ran the land board, which they did for 16 years, under 16 years of Democrat Schweitzer and Bullock, I'm finding on the Library Commission that I was appointed to that they built a bureaucratic monster that they just, the governors would shove everything into this library commission that they wanted to control, everything from the environment to, well, I just on and on. What, I mean, everybody on, you know, the public service commission and before says, oh, and you run it, but everybody who's running for these jobs on the land board says, oh, I want to help education. But what did they do that doesn't?
How do we help education through the land
board? Yeah, then what did the Democrats do that hurt it?
Yeah, so the Constitution sets forth what the mission of the land board is, and that's to administer school trust lands for the benefit of public education in Montana. And the Montana Supreme Court has affirmed in two different decisions that the duty of land board members, including the auditor, is to try to get as much revenue out of state trust lands as possible. What happened under the two Democratic governor terms is they turned the land board into a land purchasing agent, taking property out of the public domain and putting it into conservation, which otherwise hurts dollars going into public education. So what they did was they basically changed the mission of the land board.
Okay, that hit it right on the nail. We're going to come back here in a minute. You're going to have a full 12 minutes or whatever to explain all this and other issues. Thank you. Thank you. We're so grateful.
This is where Montana talks.
Hello.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, it must be our last hour because I'm out of the chair and up and dancing. Anyway, remember to go down and Aaron, this is Tammy Hall filling in for Aaron. I get the honor of doing this, and I asked my little brother Shane from Montana from Canada to tune in too. We were both raised here in Billings. But if you want to see Aaron for lunch, he's in Miles City for the Americans for Prosperity. Go on down to the Black Iron Grill. Our guest today is James Brown. And he's running for the state auditor, and I have a question for him. First, let me start by saying this position is now held by Troy Downing, who's our next guest after James. And Troy is going to be the future congressman from the Eastern District. He's running for that, and he will be. But one of the things that Troy's helping me with right now is I have a very good friend who is being denied her cancer medication. Now, she has for 3 years fought, or more than that, but she's fought three kinds of cancer, women's, ovarian, endometriosis, and the other. And they've told her that if it comes back, she'll die. And that's pretty tough when you're 50. And so this, she's doing real well on a medication. And all of a sudden, the insurance company decided they wouldn't cover it anymore because there isn't enough proof that it helps after 3 years, although it's helping her immensely. So I guess they're just saying, go ahead and die. And again, Troy's trying to help us with that. They want $23,000 a month for this insurance. So, James, I know you take care of the insurance, but why is it called the auditor? What do you audit, and do you?
No, that's a great question. It's one of the great anomalies in Montana government is the fact that the auditor's office actually doesn't audit anything. That's a legacy holdover from the 1889 Montana Constitution, where the state auditor did exactly that. That position, as originally constituted, audited the functions of government. When the 72 Constitution was adopted, the auditor's office became the commissioner of insurance and securities, regulating two of the state's largest industries. Interestingly enough, there's been two constitutional amendments proposed in the last 20 years where the voters of Montana voted down changing the name of the auditor's office from the auditor's office to the commissioner of insurance and security. So it is a bit of a misnomer, but as you noted, one of the main duties of the auditor's office is to investigate insurance complaints and fraud and to oversee conduct of companies that provide insurance products in Montana.
Well, it sounds like it's an important job because with Obamacare, again, I would like people to remember, John Tester was the deciding vote for Obamacare. It went down to, they kept saying it went down to McCain, but he didn't because John Tester could have voted against Obamacare and we don't have it. Obamacare was designed to give the government control of your health care. Every doctor, have you noticed that every doctor who comes in to meet with you now carries a computer and records it the whole time? Because it all has to go to the United States government and they are required to do that. But now what's happening is every government also has to hire people to fight the insurance companies. Isn't that true?
Well, I would say that one of the, again, the purpose of the auditor's office is to regulate the insurance industry. Certainly I've heard out on the campaign trail many, many stories of folks that are very unhappy with their health insurance providers and giving me stories kind of like you related about coverage. You know, the purpose of the auditor's office is not to pick the type of companies that come into Montana or the type of insurance that's to be offered. A lot of that's either determined by the free market or, as you stated, by government mandates and programs. What the purpose of the auditor's office is to fairly apply the law and the insurance code and to make sure that the consumer is well represented in matters that involve insurance of all kinds.
That sounds good. I know Troy's done great things in that office. I'm really grateful to him. I look forward to you doing it, too. James, why? I know you mentioned that the land board's important to you, but why would you want to serve in this?
Sure. Yeah, let me pick up your comments on Troy. Yeah, Troy has done a great job as the commissioner of insurance. That agency is very well run. It's very well respected, and I'm honored by the opportunity to step into Troy's shoes. He's left a great legacy there. Why do I want to run for this office? Why am I running for it? It's easy. Fourth generation Montana. Montana's given everything to my family. We've prospered in Montana. I want to give back to the people of Montana the way Montana has given to my family for four generations by being a good public servant. You mentioned the fact that I currently serve as president of the Montana Public Service Commission right now. I've done, in my own opinion, a very good job of turning that agency around and restoring it to its mission. I want to continue on since Troy made the decision to run for Congress. Troy's legacy at the auditor's office, and continue to do good work for the people of Montana and to be their consumer advocate on matters that relate to insurance coverage.
That sounds exciting. How do you feel about the race? Because we have about a minute here, and I just want people to hear you more and be encouraged. Are you encouraged?
I'm encouraged. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you know, the last 4 years in Montana, with the Republican leadership, the state is running very nicely. And then, of course, with events on the national level that we've seen at the same time for the last 4 years, where Bidenomics is harming families, not only in Montana, across the country. I've seen statistics that say that the average family is now paying $11,000 more to maintain its standard of living than it did when Trump was
president. Hey, James,
we're
going to go down to a break here. Would you like to stay a few minutes after?
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be great. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Calls live 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, if you want to see Aaron Flint, he's out in Miles City for the Americans for Prosperity. So go down to the Black Iron Grill at lunchtime. But right now it's Tammy Hall, and I'm from Bozeman. I'm enjoying the privilege of filling in for Aaron. He's such a good man. I tell you, you folks have no idea. I had to get up at 4 o'clock this morning, and I've been preparing for 3 days. I have about 92 pages, of which I will use two. And Aaron does this every day. I don't know how. He's just amazing. So we have James Brown on the line, who is the auditor. And if anybody would like to call in and ask James a question, he's running for the state auditor. His number, our number here is 406-294-0970. And I would like to ask my brother Shane, who's up in Canada, which they have an interesting system up there. You know, it's supposed to be free health care for all, unless, of course, you're really sick. Then you have to come to America. But okay, Shane, do you have a question for James or a comment?
Well, yes, as Montana auditor, maybe you could explain to the audience the importance of the $70 million in annual tax revenue the three poorest counties in northeastern Montana would receive from the XL pipeline. And as I said earlier, when we spoke about it, we're talking about $500 million over 4 years. What would your job as the auditor, or Montana auditor, of overseeing the use of that money? And it would it not just help those counties, but potentially the entire state?
Great question, because James was on the Public Service Commission, and again, before James answers, Tester voted the deciding vote when they brought that to the Senate to kill the pipeline, and Tester voted to kill it. Okay, go ahead, James. Wouldn't that help Montana?
The short answer is yes. Obviously, the revenue generated by that pipeline would have helped Montana fiscally. Most of the money that would have been generated by that would have either go into two places. One, as you stated, it would either go to the counties that were impacted by the pipeline, or go into Montana's general fund. The way that the auditor's office would be attenuated to that project is if any of that project went over state school trust lands, which the land board administers, then the obligation of the land board would be to make sure that the use of those lands maximized revenue for schools in Montana. But there's a reason that Montana's nickname is called the Treasure State, right? Is because we have a lot of natural resources here that can be utilized for the benefit of our own people. But what we're seeing, of course, particularly since the start of the Obama administration, is the federal government is coming in and intervening to shut down productive use of public lands, and frankly, private lands in Montana for productive uses and generation of revenue for local counties in Montana, particularly eastern Montana. With the way that we've really seen that is tied to the land board is the Otter Coal tracks. If you remember this, Obama administration shut down the leasing of the otter tracks.
Oh, yes, right.
That cost Montana schools about $80 million in revenue.
Wow. You know, I have to tell you, James, like I said, the governor appointed me to the Library Commission. There's only seven of us. It's one of those weird boards that just sort of has floats out there without a lot of control over it. And they were complaining that the library federations around the state are losing so much money because of the Coal Trust Fund. And I said, but you, they're all very, very progressive Democrats. And I said, you all don't support the Coal Trust Fund. And that you're complaining now because there isn't any money in it for you. You don't get it both ways. Right?
Yeah, that's right. The hypocrisy of that is unbelievable.
Isn't
right?
it?
It's just that they want to be able to use, and are happy to take money from the school or the Coal Trust Fund, but don't support the actual operation of that trust fund. One of my favorite moments watching the Montana legislature was that Jimmy Keene from Butte, if you know him.
I do.
Blue dog Democrat. I believe he did an amendment a few years ago that says any time that a project, if you will, such as an art project, receives money from the Coal Trust Fund, that they have to acknowledge that's where the money originated from, so people are better educated where financing of these projects comes from. It's a great amendment.
I have to tell you a funny story. The kinds of things that the governors over the 18 years dumped into, or 16 years, the Democrats, the Library Trust Fund oversees all the biologic and all the environment and everything for Montana. And they were reporting to us that they were so excited about how up to date they are on endangered weeds. And they're so excited they're getting all the endangered weeds recorded. And that last summer there was a fire in Kalispell and they were fighting it. And it turned out somebody luckily called them and told them that there was an endangered weed in the pond they were getting the water from. So they were able to get a hold of the fire, the Forest Fire Service, and tell them that that was an endangered weed, and so they couldn't use that water anymore. And I just said, stop, stop, stop. Are you telling me that you couldn't get water from this pond to fight this fire because it was so clogged with the weeds that the water was not relevant? Or are you telling me that we burned a forest to the ground to protect a weed? I mean, is that balance? Is that crazy? We've got a caller. On line three, we have James from Billings. James, do you have a comment for this good James Brown who's running? James on line three. Hi, Ed. I'm sorry. Ed, do you have a call about homeowners or something for James Brown?
Yeah. So I'm a retired insurance agent in Billings here. And, of course, homeowners in eastern Montana is a challenge because everybody is pulling out because of the weather-related items here. The question is what plans do James have that would help the people in eastern Montana? Because it's about insurance, right? We've got to have a home insured, but if we have a mortgage and stuff, that there's got to be a system out here, because just like I got my home canceled because I had a wildfire 2 miles away from my home. My home's well protected, but I've still got canceled. So I see this becoming a problem for eastern Montana, and insurance is about spreading risk, and we need to protect people in all parts of Montana so they can afford homeowners or even get it right now. So.
Well, Ed, that's a great question. Thank you. It's James, take it.
Yeah, no, Ed is absolutely right. This is one of the issues that I've heard most out on the campaign trail is the cost of homeowner insurance premiums are just exploding in Montana. And then as he was talking about, insurance companies are notifying folks in Montana that they are either not renewing or going to cancel their homeowners insurance because of wildfire liability. Troy's coming on next. I know he's been working hard on this and doing a good job on it. I know Troy has told some of these insurance companies that know they are not going to cancel existing policies based on perceived wildfire risk. But the reality is that one of the things I think that the auditor's office can do is that folks in Montana are having these policies either canceled or the premiums go up based on what's happening in other states in terms of wildfire, for example, California, right? What's happening is that you have these insurance companies that are having to pay out big claims in California or Colorado where there's poor management of public lands and forests, and so you have these huge wildfires that cost insurance companies a lot. And what the companies are doing is they're spreading the risk to areas that aren't high risk for wildfire in order to make them pay the cost of these payouts. You know, the one obvious thing that can be done by homeowners in Montana is you can undertake efforts to protect your own home from wildfire and wildfire risk by, you know, making sure that there's no foliage near your house and that sort of thing. And I think that provides an avenue for the Montana legislature to basically say to insurance companies, if homeowners mitigate their own risk, then their premiums shouldn't go up or be canceled.
That's a great point. I appreciate that. Troy is on the line now. Troy, your ears must have been burning because James and I have been bragging about you and what a great job you did, how you helped my friend Barb and how you've helped people with insurance. James is about done here, but he's been talking about what a great job you did. But do you have something you'd like to share with the voters out there about why they should vote for James?
Well, you know, I will say that, you know, the PSC seems to have been in good hands since James has been there. And there's a lot to be said for leadership. And so I've got high expectations for him. But, you know, leadership is the number one thing. You got to show up. You got to be able to lead a team. And you got to be able to, you know, get the job done. And I just reflect on what he's been able to do in his current position and, you know, expect good things to come from him.
Wow, that's great. I appreciate that. The PSC, again, is a public service commission. I get frustrated with all the alphabet soup from the library commission and the schools and everything. I think it's one of the government's big lack of transparency. They give everything these numbers and letters. James, as you say goodbye to us, just what do you want to say to the voters?
Well, the first thing I would say is I fully endorse Troy for Congress. He'll do a great job. He has shown strong leadership. At the auditor's office, he'll be a great representative for Eastern Montana in Congress. Second thing is that I'll just leave with this note. If you want to learn more about me and my campaign, you can go to my website, which is jamesbrownformontana.com, jamesbrownformontana.com, and thanks for the opportunity to speak today.
Perfect timing. Perfect. We'll be back with Troy Downey, who is going to be your new congressman from this Billings and the whole Eastern Montana.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
As Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho work to delist the grizzly bear, Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon this week is criticizing the federal government's delays in responding to a petition by the three states to delist grizzly bears in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. The state has filed a response to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's notice of their inability to meet the deadline, demanding a decision by October 31st of this year. Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon emphasized the greater Yellowstone ecosystem grizzly populations have met recovery goals repeatedly over the past four decades and criticized the ongoing federal management and costs involved. Wyoming asserts it has a robust plan for grizzly management and will not tolerate further delays. In other news, ag machinery manufacturers are facing financial difficulties, with John Deere reporting declining sales and layoffs. CNH Industries, makers of Case and New Holland products, have announced poor Q2 2024 results, where revenue has dropped 16% due to low demand, and net income fell to $438 million from $710 million. Agriculture net sales decreased by 20% to $3.9 billion, mainly due to low shipments in North America, the Middle East and Africa, and South America. While demand for tractors and combines fell in those regions, demand in the Asia-Pacific saw slight increases. I'm Lane Nordlund.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, it's Tammy Hall calling from Bozeman. I'm here in the studio looking at the beautiful, beautiful city of Bozeman, or Billings. You know, Bozeman's so arrogant. We think we're the only pretty place. You have to come to Bozeman. You have to, or Billings. Listen to me. I'm just getting old. I'm 75. You wore me out. Looking out here at the beautiful, beautiful Billings skyline, I tell you, it is an absolutely breathtaking place with the rim walks, and I love it. It's a business town. It's a town that's prides itself on jobs and everything good, and I love Billings. I grew up here, but anyway, thank you to the Billings people and for hosting us here. My brother Shane, who also grew up in Billings but is living in Canada, is on the line. My good friend Troy Downey. Let me tell you what I love about Troy Downey. Same thing I love about Tim Sheehy. They don't need the job. Troy was involved in the original Yahoo, and he made enough money he could have given it up for good, but he signed up to serve as age, barely made it by just months after 9/11 in the military to do his part. He didn't have to. He was wealthy, and he has served Montana ever since. He is just a remarkable man, unlike John Tester, who went to D.C. as a poor dirt farmer, that's his own words, and a music teacher, and now owns a $1 million mansion in D.C. Troy, I am so excited to have you. You are going to be the new congressman from Eastern Montana District. Woohoo!
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I hope it's been going well for you today, but I'm honored to be here.
Well, it wasn't until all of a sudden I couldn't figure out where I was, but that's okay. I oftentimes go in the other room and can't remember why I went there. But the other day I did. I remembered why I went there. Now, it was the bathroom, but hey, it counts. So, Troy, then, tell me about ballot initiatives. I hear that from everybody. The fraud, yeah. The cheating. What are we going to do to keep that down? Is there anything in Montana that we could do?
Well, first of all, I want to talk about...
And you have to talk up or speak up so we don't get reverberation.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so, well, first of all, I don't want to talk about the process. I want to talk about how dangerous, you know, these initiatives are. You know, there's three of them that we're talking about, Constitutional Initiative 126, 127, and 128. And 126, you know, the people pushing that, they're trying to convince you that that's going to take, you know, extreme candidates out of races. But that's a top four. So what that basically means is that independent of party affiliation, you know, everybody throws their name on the ballot in the primary, and the top four vote-getters move on to the general, independent of party. And so then in the general, then, you know, you elect them, the voters vote amongst those top four. But here's the problem. Now, let's look at the Eastern District, you know, the one that I just ran in. In my primary, there were nine names on the ballot for Republicans, and there were four for Democrats. And so let's hypothetically say that with that many Republicans splitting the vote, you ended up with three Republicans, and you ended up with one Democrat in the general. So then let's fast forward to the general. In a very Republican district, you're going to have those three names from the Republicans dividing the Republican vote. So that's going to, you know, diminish their ability to have voters, because it's going to be divided by three in some, you know, way or form. And then you've got that Democrat who's theoretically going to get every one of the Democrat votes in the district. And possibly you could end up with a Democrat representing a Republican district, and that's the danger of it. And I think about, you know, the things that they're trying to do, which I don't agree with, but really the proof is in the pudding. You look at what happened in Alaska last cycle.
That's what I'm seeking, Alaska.
Yeah, you have a very Republican state that elected a Democrat representative. And I mean, you know, obviously this wouldn't, you know, play into the Eastern District, just because it's you know, probably a Republican, you know, plus 16 to plus 20 district. But I mean, it works the other way around. If you had a heavy, you know, Democrat district, it's possible for a Republican to win there, or in a heavy Republican district, it's possible for a Democrat to win there. And then the question arises, is that true representation
of the constituents of that. So
why do they want this? This is such a violation of our elections.
Because that's the only way they can win. And, they're trying to...
More cheating.
The table. Yeah, I mean, well, exactly. They're trying to skew the table. What they're trying to do is they're trying to convince people that this will weed out, the fringe elements of, either party. But the truth of it is, what this gives them is it gives them a tool to actually gain more seats that are contrary to the makeup of the district. And I would say, the Democrats keep talking about, Trump threatening democracy, of the Republicans threatening democracy. I mean, that is a direct threat to the democratic process if you are electing somebody that's only really supported by a minority of the constituents. I mean, that right there in its face is a conflict.
Yeah, this is an initiative. It's an initiative 126 people will be voting on. So that's a vote no.
Yeah, so, and here's the thing, it's being contested. You have to collect signatures to get it on the ballot for a constitutional initiative. And I know that Christy Jacobson's office is going through that process, and I know there's some irregularities and there's some questions on whether these were, active voters or not. And so that whole process is happening. And I don't know what the result of that's going to be. I don't know if it's going to end up on the ballot or not. But if it does, it's dangerous.
It sounds very dangerous. Are there other ballot initiatives that affect elections?
Yeah, there's one other. There's CI-127, and basically that one changes the vote from a plurality to a majority to win. So in the case of having a lot of folks in an election, like just say my recent primary, there were 9 names on the ballot.
But you won by a lot.
I'm very happy with the results, and thank you Montana, thank you Eastern District, everybody that helped us get there. I appreciate it. But in that case, since nobody, and it's hard when you've got that many names on the ballot to get a majority, so more than 50%. So in that case, the top two would have a runoff, or actually in the initiative it said it would be determined by the legislature how it was dealt with. But there would have to be some kind of, runoff to determine for somebody to get the majority.
Okay, now with the time we have left, because we have about 3 minutes, I just want to point out that people need to be aware, because this is the Democrats' way of rigging elections. They aren't winning.
Right.
They aren't going to win in Montana. They are going to go out and rig and cheat. And they have done that forever. They use COVID or created COVID, whatever you believe, so they could rig the election against Donald Trump. Because you were a soldier you volunteered to go over and fly out wounded soldiers after 9/11. How do you feel about this 9/11 deal they put together to let out those people?
This is a slap in the face. I mean, basically, they did a plea agreement with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who is one of the masterminds of the September 11th attacks. And, I stand firm that we as Americans never negotiate with terrorists. I repeat, never negotiate with terrorists. And the fact that the Biden administration, and I'm going to say the Biden-Harris administration, allowed this to happen under their DOJ, they've got their fingerprints on this, showing that neither Biden nor Harris have any business being anywhere near the White House. They're complete misunderstanding and disregard for our service members, for foreign affairs, what they've done at the border, their botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, what's going on in Ukraine and Israel in Iran and China, all of this stuff. And then to put a cherry on top of that, of actually negotiating with the terrorists that were the masterminds of the September 11th attacks, I mean, that's a slap in the face of the victims, of their families, of every service member that served since then, and of every American. Neither Biden nor Harris can clean themselves of this mess, and neither of them have any business being anywhere near the White House.
I read a thing yesterday where a young man who lost his wife in 9/11 said, I woke up, read that, and felt like I'd been kicked in the balls because these people had already kicked me in the heart, and my own country did this.
But, in terms of all that, insult and everything that's happening right there, there is some light coming on, because we're going to elect Donald Trump. And Donald Trump understands how to keep, you know, the world at rest, how to promote America. I mean, this is not going to happen under a Trump administration. I got to tell you, I'm incredibly excited that we're going to see him in Montana next week.
On both of them Friday. You know, hey, yeah, you've got 45 seconds. Tell us why we should vote for you, Troy, other than the fact that you're an amazing patriot and a great businessman and leader.
Well, here's the thing. I'm putting Montana first. I'm putting America first. And I'm going to show up and do the work. And I've shown that in my current office. You know, I've served this country. You know, I've run successful businesses. And, you know, the American dream is at risk. And we need people that are going to fight back. We're going to close our borders. They're going to fight inflation.
And we're done.
Dealing with
vote
economic
Troy
issues.
Downey.
Thank you. We're at TroyDowney.com. Tammy, thank you so much for the time.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And Tammy Hall, it's been an honor, an absolute honor. Sorry, the last hour I got all confused whether I was in Billings or Postman. I'd like to say that that comes with being 75, but Donald Trump's sharp as can be, and Biden hasn't known where he was for 8 years, so what the heck? I guess it just doesn't matter what the numbers say. I would like to thank my brother Shane for being with me today. He gets up an hour earlier than I do because he's in Vancouver. Shane, why don't you take a few minutes and reflect on the show?
Sure, it's been a great show. Thank you, Tammy. You truly are so true, so real. Thank you, everyone. Be happy, be safe, live in the moment, and God bless our great country's market alert. Two things I want to say. First thing, the Dow Jones 30 is down 1,000 points.
It's
39,000, less 1,000? Than 40. That's now the sixth time since it's broken 40 that it's dropped below the NASDAQ is down 115 and at 5,300, so it's broken down six times. And the Standard & Poor 100 is down 450, so this is the sixth time it's broken down. Any chartist will tell you now the market is confirmed. You're in the recession that everyone is refusing to tell you. Enough of that. Okay, let's go to the one thing I want to check that everybody needs to know. This whole thing about Kamala, I want to make sure that everybody appreciates the fact that, those of you listening, that she is definitely a Hindu. Now, I'm going to give you this background information real quick because I only have a minute, so here it goes. Okay, she was raised in California as a child when her parents were married in Oakland, and her mother introduced her to Hinduism and her sister. And they practiced nearby at the Hindu temple. And the mother would take them annually to Madras, which is it's a city in India. And it's famous for, you know.
It is. It's one of the main places.
That's right. The other thing you need to know that about her conversion to Hinduism is that her mother and father broke up. Her mother got an opportunity to go to McGill University, and which was affiliated with, of course, Jewish General Hospital. But the thing about this is Kamala Harris's anti-Semitic ranting is real. So the reason is she went to grade school, primary school at Notre Dame de Nijmegen. This was a fine arts Core Elementary in Montreal, and she continued to Westmount High School in Montreal, one of the wealthiest schools in the city, and graduated in 1981. Now, the most important thing about fact-checking this, because people say, no, this isn't the case, her own father, Donald Harris, who is also a professor in California and has a doctorate, was quoted as telling people in the 2020 election, "My roots go back within my lifetime to my parental grandmother, Miss Chrissy, me, Christina Brown, descendant of Hamilton Brown, who is on record as plantation and slave owner
in Jamaica. Thank you,
Brownstown.
Shane. Yeah.
Brownstown.
Yeah.
So that's your Democratic, you know, presidential nominee in a nutshell. Thank you, Tammy. Appreciate the 3 minutes.
Well, you know what? That was so interesting. I think you've, especially with Donald Trump asking the other day, she's run all these years as a Indian, and that's fine with me, but why all of a sudden is she saying she's black? And, you know, it's just everything about Kamala is not real except her cackle. So I call her Cackling Kamala. My ending right here, I have a minute. I would just like to tell you that what struck me this week was everybody talking about how weird J.D. Vance was. That's a new word the Democrats have come up with. That's the best they can do. The best they can do is say that J.D. Vance is weird. Well, you know what? J.D. Vance was a self-made millionaire. J.D. Vance is a soldier. J.D. Vance is a hero. J.D. Vance loves his mother, forgave her as a Christian man because he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. He forgave his mother for the years of her addiction that as a kid he had to be raised by his grandmother because his mother, his dad was gone out of the picture. Don't tell me what's weird. I'm sorry. They say he's weird because he believes in family and country. And he made a comment that America was going to destroy our country if we stopped having children. And right now in the city of Seattle, more people have dogs than children because you hurt the climate by having children, but dogs are much better for you. I'm not knocking anybody with a dog. We had a dog when I was growing up. I love dogs, but I love children more. And Europe did this to themselves. They destroyed themselves by only having one child. The only people keeping us even with having kids in America are truly the Mormons, the Catholics, and unfortunately, the Muslims who have so many. And don't tell me if you believe men can get pregnant that J.D. Vance is weird. Don't tell me that if you're going to shut down our churches and our businesses and cheat voting and make us wear masks and children who are 1 year old, that that's following the science and you're not weird. Don't tell me there are 52 genders. Don't tell me you can't define a woman, and I don't think you're weird. Don't tell me it's normal to put drag queens in libraries and in restaurants doing shows with children being used by your evil. We are not weird. We are patriots. Stand strong. Be a Christian. Be a patriot.